Shut up and sit down.
I'm Dr. Corbin Weaver, an OB-GYN resident.
I'm Dr. Katie Wyatt, and I'm one too.
And I'm Dave Etler, their podfather.
And we are the Vagabonds. Three friends venturing through the world of feminism and healthcare for women, babies, and people of all kinds.
We don't give medical advice, and we don't speak for anyone other than ourselves.
We're just recording conversations we'd be having in bars anyway.
Hello. We're back. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about PPROM, or preterm premature rupture of membranes.
Woo.
Woo. How is everybody?
Relieved.
It's good to be back.
Relieved to be back.
Yeah, it's great.
We took a hiatus.
Oh man, did we ever? It
was the end of season one, and this is the beginning of season two. That's what I've decided.
Oh, is that how we'll think of? Okay, I hadn't thought of that. Very good.
I like it.
Way to spin that.
Yeah.
An intentional
It was
hiatus.
Totally planned.
Was not at all related to work craziness. Mental breakdowns, just a complete lack of motivation. None of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely planned.
I'm glad to hear y'all's voices.
I'm glad to hear you guys' voice too.
And
it's good to be back.
And you know, I have to say, the reason we were motivated today. It's because we got a lovely email.
We did, yeah.
From somebody who said they had begun listening and were excited to listen more. And I was like, well, shit. I guess we better start making some more, huh?
Yeah,
that's how I felt about it. So.
It was a lovely email.
Yeah,
I also got a Facebook message from one of our most loyal listeners that was like, I need a new Vagabond. I was like,
Yes. And that lovely email person was Carla. Thank you, Carla, for giving us a kick in the ass.
Thank you, Carla. And thank you for your interest in OBGYN.
Yeah.
I hear Katie's cats in the background.
Yeah, they really want to come in.
Don't let them in.
Oh, man.
This is real life, guys.
That's right.
This is true.
This is how it is.
Did you guys ever watch Shrill on Hulu?
Yes.
No.
We should just do a whole
episode. It's really good.
A whole episode.
Yeah, we should.
Actually.
We should. But so A.D. Bryant's like loser boyfriend has a really lame podcast called like the Traz Tales or something like that. It's about Alcatraz.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, it's supposed to be a meme about, you know, how everyone thinks they have something important to say and they have a podcast.
Yeah.
So anyway,
nice.
I just thought that was funny. Yeah. That's us. Yeah.
It's us. It's fine.
Although I was recently, Okay. So this is how old I am / I don't know how to use social media, but I have recently discovered that you can follow hashtags on Instagram.
Wow.
I'm so dumb.
Wow.
I'm
wow,
literally the dumbest. This also explains a lot why the Vagabonds podcast does not post a lot on social media. Because clearly I have not figured it out.
Maybe that can be our new commitment. More social media.
Second year, managing all the labor board and the antiparm service and figuring out social media. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
I did just post a welcome back to ourselves.
I saw that.
Featuring
an
incredibly dusty keyboard on the podcast
rig.
So
nice. I started following the hashtag OBGYN hashtag. But I like, there's so many people who just like have Instagrams who have like so many followers, and like all they do is like talk about their life daily. I'm like, well, if they get followers, then people should listen to us, because
yeah,
at least we have a podcast.
But you know what,
the just pictures.
You know what the problem with that theory is? Is that who the fuck wants to know about what's going on in our lives? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's other OBGYN residents.
What are they talking about? Are they posting like, are they posting foxy pictures of themselves and like their purpose?
Figs.
Yeah, their figs scrubs and their you know, other crap like that.
I don't know.
Wow. I don't know, man.
Two of them I know, and I'm just like, what's happening?
Okay.
One of the REIs that we work with here is like has a really big Instagram following. She's like a Instagram famous REI, which is kind of cool for her. But also I'm like, man, I mean, it's awesome, but it's also like, I don't think anyone would care that much about my life.
That's our problem.
But clearly like, they do though.
That is
today. I woke up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I saw patients for a really long time. And then I don't know.
That is why we fail. Yeah. We need to open ourselves up to the social.
Dave, do you know what P-Prom is?
Well, I seem to remember that we mentioned this at some point in the past.
Yeah, we haven't done an episode about this, right?
Yeah, but it's premature.
No, we haven't.
It's premature rupture of membranes. Well, that's prom.
That's prom, yeah. Mm-hmm.
P-Prom is premature rupture of membranes.
It's close.
It's preterm.
See, I was right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
you guys make things so complicated.
I know. Oh my gosh, the med students that are on right now are like, there's so many abbreviations. I'm like, yes, I know. We're the worst at abbreviations. It's because we ain't got time to sit around and write full words out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have a list, like a master list of all of our patients, so we like can keep track of them. And we have a lot of abbreviations on there that are not approved.
Not ABOG approved.
Oh.
They're not ABOG approved.
I can only imagine.
Like BUFA is my favorite one. BUFA.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this one.
No, it's not. You would not have ever heard of it.
No? What is it?
I don't know what that means.
Baby up for adoption.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Because we put everyone's like postpartum stuff on our list, so we know.
Oh, yeah.
So when the baby's up for adoption.
The one I saw on somebody's note, and it took me forever to figure out, was talking about the birth control plan. And it was like, patient declines birth control because she is a POF.
Wow.
POF.
A person of...
Person of faith?
Faith.
Yeah, person of faith.
Wow.
Oh, like a Catholic person who does...
Yeah.
Or like someone who does... Okay.
Yeah. I took See, me forever to figure it out.
We would just put NFP on ours, like natural family planning.
Yeah, I mean, normally that's what we put too, but...
It's definitely not ABOG approved.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, okay, so P-Prom. So... P-prom is essentially when you break your water before your full term and before the onset of labor. So the preterm means your baby is preterm, meaning before 37 weeks, and the premature / pre-labor. They actually are changing the naming convention. So now instead of premature, it's pre-labor. Because you can see how premature would be confusing. But premature or pre-labor means that it happens before labor starts. Which is clearly why pre-labor makes more sense. I'm all for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so reasons why it happens. Well, we don't really know. There's lots of reasons that it is hypothesize why it happens. There's lots of risk factors that not everybody has, like a amniocentesis or a CVS earlier in pregnancy. There is other things like a placental abruption or a subchorionic hemorrhage, which you at increased risk. And then having twins or having a baby with an abnormality puts you at increased risk. I'm trying to think of other things that put you at risk. I'm pulling up the practice bulletin right now. What else was I going to say?
But it's distinct from going into labor early.
Right, yeah.
Right.
That's, yeah.
It's kind of defined by not going into labor early.
Yeah. Sorry, ACOG's not letting me log in right now. It's making me log in again, actually.
Infection, right?
Yeah, so one of the things that's, like, hypothesized the most is that there is, like, an underlying subclinical infection. Or sometimes there's just a straight-up infection, but that's why we'll get into, like, the treatment of PPROM. But that is one of the biggest. A clinically evident intra-amniotic infection occurs in 15% to 25% of PPROM, and a postpartum infection occurs in 15% to 20%. And then obviously the incidence of infection is higher at earlier gestational ages, which makes sense because you have longer time that you're just sitting there ruptured. So one of the biggest risks of PPROM is an intra-amniotic infection called chorioamnionitis. And it's because if you think about the cervix and the chorionic membrane, or the amniotic membrane, it's kind of a protective, like, antibacterial barrier, because essentially amniotic fluid is just like a nice nutrient broth that if you get bacteria in, it'll just explode, essentially. And so you've ruptured that membrane, and so you have a really high risk of getting an infection from any of the bacteria that live in the vagina or any other bacteria that gets introduced. So that is what's scary. And then, so the specific dates that we're talking about is, before 37 weeks. And then if you have what's called pre-viable PPROM, that means you're before 24 weeks. And that is managed expectantly, meaning that we don't do anything because the likelihood of fetal demise is very high in those cases. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what we'll do is you can go home, live your life at home, and then you come back to the hospital if you haven't delivered by the time you're 24 weeks.
Oh.
Which is really sad because there isn't really anything we can do.
That must be frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But I will say that all the cases of pre-viable PPROM that I've seen, they've delivered pretty quickly after PPROM. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few cases of people not, they make it, until like 34 weeks or whatever. But that's the outlier, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, those babies do have mostly lung development issues.
Yeah. And then if you're between 24 and 34 weeks, we keep you in the hospital and we monitor you a lot. And we'll talk about some different medicines that you get in a second. And then if you're between 34 and 37 weeks, we just induce your labor because that 34 weeks is kind of the generally recognized date where it's more benefit to deliver than it is. There's a higher risk to keep you pregnant than it is risk of your baby being born at 34 weeks. So you can imagine that if someone ruptures at 24 weeks and they stay in the hospital for 10 weeks.
It's a long road. A long
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We literally have one of those that's getting induced this weekend.
Wow.
She's been here for like almost 60 days.
My gosh.
Fun fact.
Cannot
most
imagine.
Blood consents for hospitals expire after 60 days. So we have to re-sign her consents. We're like,
oh yeah.
We noticed that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the stat is like 50% of women will go into labor in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After PPROM.
Here it is. 40 to 50% of patients with pre-viable PPROM will give birth within the first week. So that's but that's not preterm.
So is this person and others like her, are they on bed rest? Are they free to walk around?
Yeah. Good question. Bed rest isn't a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay. It's not an encouraged thing anymore. But I mean, they're not allowed to take a bath. They're allowed to shower. Right.
Yeah.
But they're not allowed to take a bath.
Okay.
Obviously, they're on pelvic rest.
Pelvic rest. Yeah.
Nothing in the vagina.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and. So, things we do for PPROM. When you get diagnosed with PPROM, first of all, we diagnose it the same way as we diagnose rupture membranes, which I think we've talked about before. But you look in the vagina with a speculum, and you'll see pooling of amniotic fluid. And then you can get a swab of that fluid and put it on a slide, and you'll see something called ferning when it dries, which is it literally looks like a fern. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. The and salt crystals.
Yeah. And then there's also commercial tests available to
that. Oh yeah, like the AmniSure or whatever.
AmniSure, yeah. And so then we start you on latency antibiotics, which is a combination of 4 different antibiotics, 2 for the first 48 hours and then 2 for the second 5 days. So total of 7 days of antibiotics. And that is because of that theory that there's an underlying subclinical infection. So unlike what most people think, it's not prophylactic antibiotics. Like, it's not to prevent you from getting an infection. It's actually to calm whatever inflammation is there already. And it's a combination. It's ampicillin, azithromycin, amoxicillin, and erythromycin. Right, Corbs? That's right. Amoxicillin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what else do you get? You get... if you're before 32 weeks, you get magnesium for fetal neuroprotection. And then you get 12 hours of that, and then we turn it off, and then we try to give it to you before labor too, or before you're going to deliver. And then you also,
if you're still below 32
weeks. Yeah. If you're still below 32 weeks. Yeah. And then you get steroids for fetal lung development.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like betamethasone or dexamethasone. So, and then you stay inpatient, and we call it our little PPROM garden. We have all our little PPROMers.
PPROM garden.
Yeah.
That sounds really, that sounds nice.
I know. It is nice. They're usually very nice and like very, they just like move into the hospital essentially. Just like bring all their stuff.
Yeah.
I always order pet therapy for them because I'm like, you're so bored. You're here all the time.
Oh God, I can't even imagine.
To play with.
I cannot even imagine.
I know.
Like. 10 weeks in a hospital. Ugh. You know, I don't know if this is the right place to jump in, but I have recently enjoyed telling my daughter that amniotic fluid is basically urine.
It is. And
that she spent a good portion of her in utero experience inhaling, drinking, and excreting the fluid that she was swimming around in.
Yeah.
I think she kind of liked that.
I'm sure she did. And then it also smells like eggs. That's what I think it smells like.
Eggs. I don't know how. I don't know if
and
I
it
like
tastes that. Salty.
Like a true OB.
And it burns your face when it sits on there for a while.
Fun fact.
That is true.
Fun fact. Facts that most of us will never learn.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
If you're a lucky human being, you'll never learn that fact.
If you're an OB-GYN, chances are you're going to learn that.
I've had a really bad streak recently where I've had to like change my scrubs once. Like when I'm on call, having to change my scrubs because I get covered in amniotic fluid recently.
I would assume that happens often. It doesn't.
It happens to me often.
You got to be out of the splash zone.
Closest I ever.
Yeah, well, the most recent time was like either the baby was going on the floor or my scrubs were getting wet. Yeah. So,
Yeah, definitely what I would pick too.
Yeah.
Closest I ever came to that.
Had to deliver.
Closest I ever came to that was getting peed on by a parrot at the pet shop. But I don't think that's equivalent, really.
I've also gotten peed on before. It's fine. The other, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The other day we delivered a baby that had a very large blood splash. And Anna's my second year. She like ducked behind me. She's like, gotta get out of the splash zone. I'm like, yeah, sacrifice the intern. But anyway.
Amniotic fluid is so fun.
Oh, it is fun.
It's fun.
I really do like rupturing people's
me
membranes.
Too.
it's a good time.
Do you like it because it's like a milestone of some sort, or is that?
No, because it's very satisfying.
Yeah, that's what it's I was like. Say.
Oh, there should be.
You break it, and then all this fluid comes out, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I did something."
There should be. There's your ticket to Instagram fame right there for OB-GYNs. You know, if you want to become famous among OB-GYNs, have satisfying videos.
You know what I'm going to do? Just take selfies of myself. What I'm going to do is take selfies of myself pre having to change my skirt, like when I'm covered.
When you're covered. Yeah, that's
in amniotic fluid. And then like most, like the one on like on Sunday when I had to change my scrubs, it landed exactly so it looked like I peed my pants, like for real.
Yeah, that's always, yep. It's always great.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Okay. Yeah.
What else? Well, I was gonna say something. Oh, so speaking of pee prom, so these babies don't have a lot of amniotic fluid. Mm-hmm. So, what can happen, like Corbin was talking about, is these babies have been squished in there for a long time without amniotic fluid. And, so they're at risk of something called Potter syndrome, which is deformations that are essentially from being too squished and not having like the ability to stretch out. So this is things like limb contractures, meaning that the like limbs are too have been like contracted for a long time and we're unable to like stretch out. And then pulmonary hypoplasia because of the lungs were never able mm-hmm. to expand because they didn't have fluid. I forgot my favorite thing. So going back to diagnosing PPROM, this is something we never do anymore, but I kind of want to just because it's so hilarious. So it's called the Smurf test, or I don't know what else, or the tampon test. But what you do is that you put in a needle transabdominally, so like an amnio kind of, like a needle through the belly into the amniotic fluid, and then you put some indigo carmine dye in it, which is blue. And then you put a tampon in the vagina or a pad, and then you see if there's blue on
my
it.
My God.
And it dyes the baby blue. Oh.
This is what makes me think that medicine is just like really stupid, right?
Yeah.
You're like, most physical exams are like, that looks weird. What happens when you poke it? Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
This is like, well, if there's a hole there, she'll leak blue from her vagina.
Holy smokes. I love that. I love that.
But it's important to note that indigo carmine also will go into your urine. So you got to make sure it's not from the urine.
That's the hard part with the pregnant lady.
It is.
Sometimes telling if someone's ruptured can be actually kind of difficult.
Yeah. Like, okay, so this is a patient we had the other day. And, oh my God, it was terrible. So she was like she had poly substance abuse, and she came in and she was like, told us that she had an ultrasound like 3 weeks prior at a different hospital that had showed no fluid around her baby. And so like, if you have, like, I don't know, our MFM says that if you have, like, anhidramnios in the setting of, like, you don't know if, like, the baby's IUGR or, like, you have no other reason for it, then they're P-prommed until proven otherwise.
You just threw out a lot acronyms there.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. If you have anhidramnios, which means no fluid, like, if the baby has no fluid around it, and there's no other reason for the anhidramnios, like, so if you have intrauterine growth restrictions, sometimes you can have low fluid, but that takes a long time to develop.
Yeah. Well, and like a baby without kidneys would have anhidramnios.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so if you have none of those reasons and they have all anhidramnios, then it's PPROM unless proven otherwise, because you never know.
Like, which makes sense. Like, leak. It's the most common. Like, it'd be more rare for any of those other anomalies to be happening.
So anyway, this lady came in, and so she really couldn't tell. I mean, she was like high out of her mind, so she couldn't tell us. Like, she couldn't tell us if she had leaking. She couldn't tell us if she had like a big gush, you know, all that stuff. So we just like had to treat her as PPROM, even though we had no idea if she was PPROM'd or not. So then I was like, we could do a tampon test.
No. Katie got excited.
We did not. But she was also blue.
Or the amnesia.
Yeah. But you guys have amnesia only work within the first how many hours? They don't work after 3 weeks.
All right, 3 weeks.
Yeah. So it was a long time. But anyway, that was fun.
Weird.
I'm the one who had to C-section that patient after watching a Category 3 strip for literally 48 hours.
Mm. That's not good.
No, it's not fun.
What's a Category 3 strip?
It means you should be delivering the baby.
Oh.
But she wouldn't let us. So.
Oh, I see.
It was terrible.
Oh, boy. That sounds...
Yeah. Anyway, so management of PPROM. We kind of already talked about the like antibiotics and steroids and other things like that. But other things that have been tried, which I think is interesting, is, one, tocolytic. So tocolysis is the practice of stopping contractions. Mm-hmm. So tachometry is like measurement of contractions. So tocolysis, lysis means stopping. Mm. So we don't use tocolysis in PPROM. It is not shown to, it's only shown to lower the risk of delivery within 48 hours. But it has, it's associated with a higher risk of chorioamnionitis in pregnancies below 34 weeks, which is when we would, you know, after 34 weeks, so we deliver them anyway. So it's not advised, or it's not standard of care to use tocolysis for PPROM.
Chorioamnionitis.
Chorioamnionitis, yeah. It's an intra-amniotic infection.
I was going to say that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the new...
Plus, if you're... you're laboring and you're PPROM, then I guess it's not technically PPROM. I don't know. I think that line gets a little
and preterm labor. Yeah, it's probably more like
preterm labor. And then so something that we did a journal club about recently is doing an amnio infusion for PPROM. So meaning you stick a needle through the belly. Like you're doing an amniocentesis, but instead you insert fluid in. So the idea is that that babies won't develop that Potter sequence or like hypoplastic lungs or contractures or anything like
that. Yeah. That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
A little scotch tape on the hole. And
it seems like a good idea. It seems
reasonable, but it doesn't work.
I was going to say.
The outcomes, yeah.
One problem with that is there's still a hole.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes our stupid medicine ideas don't actually work.
Hey, you know, you got to try it. You got to give it a shot.
You only care about the good ones.
Oh, she lost some fluid. Let's put some more in.
Put some in there.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Indeed.
It's true. But yeah. So, and there is like a theory I've heard. Well, I've maybe not a theory, but like a lot of people say that like the people who PPROM like super early and then make it to 34 weeks, that they have a high leak is what it's called. Like it meaning it's like up really high in the uterus and then it kind of seals itself off. So then they like stop leaking and essentially are not PPROM'd anymore. Mm. But you would never, I mean, you can never clinically call them that. But
some people actually like regain.
Regain fluid.
Fluid.
Yeah, that's like this one we're delivering this week. She has like a normal MVP, like maximum vertical pocket of fluid now. So they think she must have just, and I mean, I'm the one who examined her when she got to the hospital and she definitely was ruptured. But we just think she had like a high leak that resealed or something.
Hmm.
Which is crazy. But yeah. Let's see. Other things. Have we ever talked about cerclages?
That doesn't sound familiar.
I mean,
so
it is my favorite word.
Ooh, it is a fancy word.
Yeah.
It just feels so fancy.
Sounds French.
It does. So a cerclage is a stitch that goes in the cervix to kind of like help it close. And we put them in cervical insufficiency. So like if you have painless cervical dilation, usually... a lot of them are historical, meaning you had that in a previous pregnancy, and so you are known to have that problem, and so we put one in prophylactically. Hmm. And then some of them are rescue cerclages. They're done at a later date, but they're done because you're having cervical dilation already or cervical shortening. So anyway, if you have a cerclage in, and if putting in a cerclage increases your risk of PPROM, first of all. And second of all, if you have a cerclage, it is advised to take it out once you pre-prom, because it's not actually associated with prolongation of pregnancy. But studies aren't like super clear about that actually, because if you think about it, that's a very low number of people. So that's still probably something that we'll get more clear about as we go. Yeah.
We should talk in our next episode. Maybe we should talk about like 17p and cerclages and like maybe pessaries now. Exciting new things.
Yeah. Did you see the article about, or like that journal article about?
I did see it. Yeah. And the
big controversy.
That, let me tell you something. That was like a whirlwind. 17p. Woo. You know,
you're talking about the diabetes, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Which one are you talking about?
17p? What?
Yeah.
Which one are you talking about,
Katie? Okay.
Because there was another one recently that came out too. And diabetes.
No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking one that, about the one that basically said 17p doesn't do anything.
Yeah, there's that one too.
But anyway.
And it leads to a more significant women diabetes.
Yeah. But that's just a teaser. Dave.
Yeah, future. We'll talk about that for next episode.
Yeah.
I have an idea for a medical device that you could that you could invent to address PPROM. I mean, you can't stitch the membrane closed, right?
Right.
You can't put a little piece of tape on it.
No.
Why don't you invent the medical equivalent of the wine bottle stopper? Not the cork, but the kind that, you know, you put in there and then you flip the lever down and it just sort of seals the cervix. You could
definitely chorio risk.
You could,
but you the fluid could get behind the membrane.
As long as it's there, what's the big deal?
No, because if the membrane's separating the fluid from the baby,
because you have to,
then
remember,
it's not doing its job.
Yeah. So there's a membrane that's on the inside of the lining of the uterus that's separate from the lining of the uterus.
Yeah.
So there's like the water, the membrane, and then nothing essentially, and then the uterus.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's not stuck to it. So water could get in between the uterus and the membrane.
Well, look, I mean, if you want to be a naysayer and throw away a perfectly good idea, I mean,
I do want to be a naysayer.
That's that's fine. It's your choice. I just may have given you $1 million idea, but can't force you to take it. I can't lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink the amniotic fluid. Because of the impromptu nature of our recording today, I don't have any news to share.
Okay, my news slash, it's really depressing.
Uh-oh.
My news slash call to action is all the abortion bans that are being brought before state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia just passed one. That's a 6-week abortion ban. It's a heartbeat bill. There's one here that passed the House. Now it's in the Senate. Like subcommittee. It's really depressing.
On the other hand, there's been a lot of that. On the other hand, we have a couple of states who have sort of expanded their protection for abortion. Illinois being one.
Yeah.
And
I think Nevada.
So seemingly sort of a reaction to these rather horrifying things that are happening in other states.
Yeah, but it's real depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So,
call your politicians.
Abortion access is super important. It's important for more than just people who want to have elective abortions. It's really important for people who can't afford to have a termination for a fetal anomaly. because in in South Carolina, at least, insurance doesn't cover that. Even if it's a fatal fetal anomaly, like the baby will not, like anencephaly, like the baby doesn't have a head.
Right.
Insurance still won't cover it. And so it's just really sad to have to pay. You can't pay $3,000 for an abortion, but you have to pay for an entire pregnancy that's not going to do anything but put you at
guaranteed.
Risk. It's really sad and really, I don't know, makes me want to cry just talking about it every freaking day.
Yeah. So. I think we've mentioned this on the show before, but it also jeopardizes OB-GYN training in the states that have draconian bans, because you have to, according to the ACGME, you have to be able to learn about these procedures and these topics in order to have an OB-GYN residency program. No OB-GYN residency program, less OB-GYNs in that state, and that's a problem for women's health. So, get it together, people.
Get it together, people.
Well. Say, I do have a fallopian file.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good Omens.
What is that?
What is that?
It's a show.
It is.
Never heard of it.
If you're Catholic or were raised Catholic or Catholic adjacent.
I am that.
And you like Neil Gaiman or Terry Pratchett. You will love Good Omens. Good Omens was a book written by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman back in the day. And it's now a series on available at Amazon Prime. And it's brilliant. It's a lot of fun. It's very true to the book if you've read the book. And it's all about these two, a demon and an angel, who have been sort of...
I want to see this so bad. I literally just...
What's it on?
Yes.
It's on...
What's it on?
It's on Amazon Prime. About a demon and an angel who have been hanging out together since the beginning of... since the beginning of time, sort of clandestinely, because, they're not really supposed to, but they kind of like each other and they like the earth, and they're not really all that excited about the coming Armageddon. So they're working to prevent it, unbeknownst to their supervisors. But there's a lot of in Catholic humor, for sure. The book is incredible. The series is really good. It's very faithful to the book as far as you can get. And should check it out. David Tennant is the demon. And John Hamm plays the angel Gabriel.
No, not John Hamm.
Yeah.
Oh.
The angel angel is played by somebody else whose name I don't recognize. But the angel Gabriel is played by John
Hamm. Okay. I accept that explanation.
Thank you. I hope I'm correct.
I was like, that's not the guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a fallopian file today.
Okay.
It's Booksmart, the movie. It's so good. You need to go see it. It's excellent. It's the best movie of the year, I've decided.
Booksmart. I've heard of this movie.
It has Beanie Feldstein in it.
I saw
Jonah Hill's sister. She was in Lady Bird.
I saw the trailer for this and I was like, that looks great.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was truly excellent. Very funny, really, just really good. I'm a person who gets bored during movies, and I did not get bored at all. Highly recommend it. Really good. Really nice. You know what I really enjoy about movies now? The high school comedy movies. We've really entered into an era where we're really celebrating female friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As like, and this is the case in this movie too, where your female friend is your soulmate. You don't need no man. And I really relate to that.
I remember back in the day, the high school movie was like, I don't know, Porky's or something,
Yeah.
It feels like a different world. It's It's kind of nice.
Yeah. I do really love the genre of the like high school, you know, kind of like what's his name?
John Cusack.
The director.
Oh.
What's his name? Like 16 Candles and
John Hughes.
You're right.
John Hughes.
Those were always
good. Now we're doing the modern thing, you know, now where it's like all the boys I've loved before or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff.
Good.
Or at least I think it is.
We'll start podcasting more regularly now.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I feel reinvigorated.
Yeah, me too. Me too. This was a breath of fresh air.
It was. A reason in and of itself to keep podcasting is just so we can talk about it together.
And we missed you guys. We missed our listeners. Yeah,
we missed our listeners. We missed each other.
We missed you. Yeah.
That was very true.
I missed you guys. Oh, man.
I know. Soon, we're going to be trying to find a weekend in second year I can go to Austin.
Yeah. That would be so fun.
Well.
So. Maybe we're going to have to start thinking creatively about our guests, to getting some guests on the pod.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
That would be fun. Yeah, we could getting some new guests.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, all right. More to come in season two.
Thanks for sticking with us, friends and listeners.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends that we're back.
Tell your friends we're back. We're back from outer space.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing less than a dusty keyboard.
I'm going to start posting pictures of myself covered in amniotic fluid.
Yeah, me too.
Please do.
I really need to get like a stuffed uterus or something that I can take a picture of.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.